This is the Concealed Carry Podcast, episode number 56. Welcome to the Concealed Carry Podcast, part of the USA Firearm Training Network, and I am your host, Riley Bowman.
Riley Bowman, the guy who sometimes shoots darts with a blowgun into a dartboard while we're recording this podcast.
I'm doing it right now.
Well, I'm glad you're getting some practice in. I am Jacob Paulson.
And Jacob's the man who is proud of his new Captain America t-shirt.
It's a great shirt.
And today we are also joined by Matt Numerick from Phoenix Krav Maga, an extremely talented individual in the area of self-defense training. Matt, hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, guys. It's great being here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. And would you mind just giving us a quick overview of who you are, your background, qualifications, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, once again, my name is Matt Numerick, and I've really been blessed over the last 21 years of being a self-defense instructor, and I think some people peg me kind of being as an expert now. This is everything I do. This is the only thing I do from sun up to sundown, and have been doing it for over two decades. And, I've had the blessing of teaching not only military, but also law enforcement. But my favorite kind of group to teach is just regular civilians. And I'm certified not only in Bruce Lee's art of Jeet Kune Do, also kind of easier said JKD, but also in the Israeli fighting combat system called Krav Maga as well. And really having those two big certifications under me has just given me an incredible kind of perspective on self-defense and really being able to help people not just learn self-defense, but the key is learning it easily, learning it simply, and learning it completely. And I'm sure we'll get into more of that as we kind of go along here today.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. That's really, I think, become your trademark, at least from what I've seen, is, you know, finding ways to teach people simple self-defense techniques that just about anybody can really do, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the goal is not, I think so many people have so many different kind of bad beliefs about self-defense. Either they're going to A, believe that it takes, you know, 10, 20 years to get good at it, or they believe that, you know, when you're actually going to learn a technique, it has to be complex. It has to be something that looks like it's, you know, done like in the movies. And both of those are completely false.
Yeah. Great. So, as is customary on this program now, today in history, first up, in 1066 AD, that's a long time ago. That's almost 1,000 years ago, Jacob. William the Conqueror invades England. So William the Conqueror he's a pretty interesting dude. And he's pretty, let's just go into this here. So when he was 20 years old, this is kind of crazy to me. He was able to become the ruler and backed by King Henry I of France. So a pretty young dude, and he's able to lead, you know, basically an army and expand the borders of, I mean, substantially. I mean, he's a pretty powerful guy at a young age. In 1051, William is believed to have visited England and met with his cousin Edward the Confessor. It's crazy how they come up with some of these names. You know, go William the Conqueror and Edward the Confessor. I think I'd almost rather be William the Conqueror. And Edward the Confessor was the childless English king. According to Norman historians, Edward promised to make William his heir. On his deathbed, however, Edward the Confessor granted the kingdom to Harold Godwine, head of the leading noble family in England and more powerful than the king himself. So I'm sure that William the Conqueror was not very, very happy about that. So with approximately 7,000 troops and cavalry, William seized Pevensey and marched to Hastings. And basically, you know, the result is he went all the way to London and brought London and England into his domain. So he's a pretty powerful guy. Also in 1918, so this is a lot more recently, and this is a story I think is just so interesting and fascinating. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of details on it, or we don't know, like, for certain, you know, did this really happen? Or, you know, like, there's a little bit of debate on this, I think. But the story goes, on September 28th, 1918, there was a British soldier private Henry Tandy, serving near the French village of Marcoing. I don't know. You guys could correct me if I got that wrong.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
He reports for me. Works for me.
Reportedly, he encounters a wounded German soldier and declines to shoot him, sparing the life of 29-year-old Lance Corporal Adolf Hitler.
Huh. Yeah, it's an interesting story.
Gone the other way.
if it's true, it's just proof that, you know, we all have significant ripple effects that we can't possibly predict, right?
Very true.
So true with everything. There's a saying, isn't there? Like the door of history turns on. I can't remember. Do you know that saying, Jacob? Something about.
No, but
like,
it sounds intelligent.
History swings.
I'm sure we can make something up right now.
Door hinge swings. History repeats itself. Something like
Are
that.
You Googling
yeah.
That? Oh, anyway.
Somebody will comment on our podcast anyway. And tell us.
No, but the point is that like sometimes these huge things in history start from something very small, and like if something had gone the other direction back when it was like this, you know, seemingly insignificant moment, things could have been completely different. And I just think that's so fascinating. And I look at that in my own life, even, you know, and I'm sure we all recognize this. You know, you go back to like these little moments where it's, you know, if I had done this instead of that, like my life might have ended up being totally different. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Today's episode is sponsored by the Street Fighting Matrix, but more on that later. And in case you're wondering, today's topic is kind of an interesting one. This is why we have Matt on with us today. It is defending yourself without a gun does not have to be complicated. We spend a great deal of time talking about self-defense with a gun, but what about those times when you don't have or aren't able to have a gun? And there definitely are those times, even for myself, someone who carries on a daily basis with almost no exception. But there are those exceptions, like you're going to, I don't know, I'd like to go to the Colorado Rockies. It's like the end of the season here. You know, watch a baseball game. I cannot go into Coors Field and take my gun. And now they, you know, pat you down and wand you and everything. So there's no option there. What would I do if something happened inside the stadium? I don't know, but that's why we have Matt, who is an expert in this regard, on the program with us today. We've talked about similar concepts in the past, in past episodes, but we've really got the guy that knows it all, at least the way I see it. Matt, you probably would disagree that you don't know everything, but I think you probably know more than you give yourself credit for. So,
yeah, sure.
Welcome again, and... where do we start with this, gentleman?
Now, I was going to interject here. I think, you know, on episode 48, which is now 8 episodes ago, our podcast title was Self-Defense Situations in Which You Should Not Use Your Gun. And if anyone's listening to this and you haven't listened to episode 48, I would encourage you to go back and do that maybe as soon as you finish with this one. But I think it's really critical that, you know, in that episode we talked about all these situations where either you don't have your gun by nature of circumstance, or situations in which you should not be using your gun. It's not appropriate to use your gun. For example, to throw out an example would be like if you're in a big crowd. And this is funny because we get a lot of students, Riley, who come through our class and they're there to get their concealed carry permit, and they're going to get a gun and start carrying it around. And in their mind, their like major like nightmare fear thing in their head is sitting in some movie theater with 300 people, you know, and mm-hmm. someone coming out and starting to spray bullets. And somehow in their mind, they think that they're going to draw a gun and start shooting in this crowd full of innocent people. So the point is, there are just, you know, no matter how much we want to get around it, there are times when you shouldn't have your gun or you can't use your gun. And so with that said, I think there's some follow-up to that. It's like, okay, well, Riley, Jacob, you guys told me there's all these situations where I shouldn't use my gun. Well, what the crap do you expect me to do? You know, if I can't use the gun, then what is the solution? And obviously, we hinted at or we implied that you need to have some hand-to-hand combat skills. But as I've talked to more and more people about that, it's clear that that's intimidating. It's intimidating. Yeah, my son goes to a karate studio. Riley, did any of your kids take any sort of martial arts?
Not yet.
So my son goes to a karate studio, and they've pretty much told him that he's going to have to take karate for about 5 to 6 years to get his black belt. And there's almost this sense, I don't know if it's spoken out loud, but almost this sense like, until you get that black belt, you're just not quite good enough. And I think that is the core reason we've reached out to Matt. And people have heard Matt's name before. We've talked about him in the past, and you know, we've mentioned him on our website and stuff. But Matt, like, do you hear that all the time? Do you think that is it just me, or do people legitimately think it's going to take years?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'm going to say is this, is that I just want to reiterate what you're saying, but in another kind of way, especially with social media, this, you know, and then in this day and age, someone will pose a question, or maybe I'll get on social media and pose a question, or I'll start a discussion, or I'll kind of dip into a discussion. And, you know, people will say, well, what's the best self-defense move or something like that? And I can't tell you how many kind of blatant knee-jerk reactions come back of, you know, well, I got my Glock, I got my 1911, I got my Beretta, I got, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's the all, you know, that's going to solve every single kind of a threat or a self-defense situation. And, you know, I have to chuckle, but then I almost cry because of exactly, I mean, it goes back to that previous podcast that you talked about, you know, that I personally listened to, which was incredible. And I can't underline that fact so many times that, you know, once again, every situation cannot be solved by just pulling your gun and shooting, okay? Or even pulling your gun and even threatening to shoot. You know, there's so many kinds of different, you know, self-defense situations. Just ask any kind of police officer who's experienced or has any amount of experience, and they'll tell you the vast majority of kind of situations where they get into scuffles or something like that, they can't go pulling their gun. And I'm not even going to talk about any of the, you know, the situations that we're dealing with right now that have heightened the awareness of not, you know, going for someone's sidearm. Well, what do you think you can do then, just being a civilian, when you don't have the kind of situational training and also the power that law enforcement has? So I just want to underline, Jacob, really what you're saying, because it's so true. And having that knee-jerk response of, listen, I'm just going to get my carry concealed permit, and then guess what? I'll be protected. Mm-hmm. That is a false belief, and really in one that's going to lead to people not being prepared for the vast majority of situations where, you know, once again, the gun is not the best choice. And that's why I'm so glad that you did that past podcast about it, because you guys talked about so many different situations where that is just held true. But to really answer your question, you know, once again, you know, does it take a long time? I just want to take my head and beat it against the wall when I hear people say that stuff, you know? and you know what? I hate to say it, but being a martial arts school owner myself and even multiple martial, multiple martial arts schools, I can say that most instructors, most schools will say that purely for an economic reason. They want people to hang with them and be paying their bills for as long as possible. What I try to do is I try to, you know, just unwind two kind of false beliefs. And I talked about this a little bit earlier when Riley was going through the intro. The first thing is once again, you do not need a whole lot of time. What you need is you need focused quality time of self-defense hand-to-hand combat training. But then the second kind of disbelief that I, you know, want to make, or I'm sorry, the belief that I want to make a disbelief for people is that it has to be complex. It has to be flashy. It has to be kind of these special moves. When you talk about self-defense and the most effective self-defense moves, it is the most easy gross motor skill based moves that you can really believe. And, you know, once people actually see them in action, they're like, oh, I don't need to do a flipping, spinning sidekick in order to take this guy out. You know, I can just literally knee this guy in the groin. I can learn how to do a proper headbutt and literally take anybody out, regardless of whether their height or size is. So, yeah, I mean, that's really what I want to dig into in this podcast is helping people believe that, you know, once again, it does not take all these grandiose kinds of moves or investment of time to really make that possible.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a couple things here, gentlemen. First of all, your little story, Jacob, about, you know, your son going to the karate dojo and all that. I went to karate when I was a kid, and I made it up to the whopping level of yellow belt. But I did learn a lot of good things, and actually, that, you know, a lot of things that I think, you know, even in a relatively short time, I think I maybe did it for a year or so. A lot of things paid dividends, you know, in the long run. I established a lot of a foundation for everything that kind of came after that. Now, I am nowhere near Matt Numerick's level, but I have had Krav Maga training, and it's been wonderful. There's a lot of wonderful defensive tools in Krav Maga that there's a lot of things that don't, they're not difficult to do. And what I like about Krav is that it's very, to me, this is my perspective of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but to me, it's very almost like principle based. Like, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, here's some basic, some foundational skills or principles that everything else basically builds on. And if you can just get those basics down, then you can pretty much find something, you know, along the way, you know, that's going to work for you in various situations. Is that kind of your view as well, or am I totally off base on this?
No, you know what? And I've had two great resources to really teach me on that exact same fact. The first is, being certified in Bruce Lee's R Jeet Kune Do. You take a look at Bruce Lee's life and what he did, and he was just a big researcher. He was an experimenter. He wanted to know, out of all these different arts and styles and cultures, what were those moves that worked consistently? And, you know, we're talking consistently, not just in different environments, meaning that can you do the move on, like, let's say, wet asphalt, but can you do it on, let's see, an icy surface? Can you do it in a closed quarter situation? Can you do it, in just different kinds of environments and weather and things, you know, and just things like that? But, you know, the other thing is that can you go ahead and can you do it up against different kinds of people? Meaning that I'm sure any of us can go ahead and, you know, whip the crap out of a fourth grader. Okay. But can you do it up against, that biker who's 6'2", you know, 250 pounds ripped, you know, can you do it against that person who has spent the last 10 years in jail, you know, fighting every month, every week just to survive? And that's what I want to get across to people is, and I think that's what I had the blessing of learning Bruce Lee's R Jeet Kune Do, because I was able right from the get-go to be set in that environment where you always had a question, okay, is this the most efficient, most effective move? And getting back to what you were just saying, Riley, about are there principles? Yeah, there are these kinds of moves, there's principles, there's concepts that literally keep on showing up regardless of what environment you're talking about, regardless of what kind of, you know, opponent or attacker you're facing. And those are the kinds of moves that I want to pass on to my students and obviously pass on to those who take a look at my training in one way or another. I just want to underline that and just say you hit the nail right on the head there. There are those principles. Now, aside from Jeet Kune Do, I've also had this pleasure of training now in Krav. And Krav Maga is great because talking about having a self-defense product, meaning, and I'm talking it's curriculum, it's lessons, but having this product that really focuses on simplicity, focuses on those kinds of moves that anybody can do. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I can teach these kinds of moves to somebody who's, you know, 9 or 10 years old, but I can also teach these moves to somebody who's literally in their 60s and 70s. That is the kind of value that I want to pass on to people. And I think the only other thing to kind of just, you know, put an ending sentence on this is, I will use an example more or less, you know, and obviously this is not something we're going to get into deep here, but if you talk about, let's say, a gun disarm, you know, how to disarm someone, this is a situation where maybe you do not have a weapon, you do not have anything on you, but you're faced off against somebody who is pointing a gun at your face. What I love about Krav Maga is, and something that I've continued to focus my training on, is making sure that regardless of how that person is positioned against you, meaning that are they pointing a gun in your face from the front, from your strong side, let's say on, for me, it'd be my right side because I'm right-handed, on your weak side, meaning your left side in my case, from behind you, whether you are, let's say, you know, on your knees, you know, those kinds of disarms, the principle should hold true in each one of those kinds of disarms. Does that make any sense to you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I don't care if you're talking about gun disarms or gun retention. I don't care if you're talking about basic self-defense moves. Those kinds of truths, as I call them, they should ring true over and over again, regardless of what kind of situation or what kind of opponent you're up against.
Yeah. And that was exactly my point because, you know, that's what I see. What I've noticed as I've gone through my Krav Maga training is that you learn these concepts. And you're right. Like, you don't have to memorize, you know, 50 different things for 50 different situations. You memorize like 5 things that apply to 100 situations, and they may apply in different ways. But it's those basic concepts, and I think that's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And I think it also comes down to to finding out where you're going to put your training time in. You know, I mean, Bruce Lee has a quote, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he says, you know, I'm not scared of the man who knows, you know, 10,000, you know, kicks or moves. I'm scared of the man who knows just one move and practices it 10,000 times. You know, and it's so true, because when you talk about self-defense training, you know, the fact is, even myself who does this for a living, I only have so many, you know, hours throughout the week that I can train, you know. You know, not just that, but as I get older, I know that my body can only take so much as well. And so am I going to go ahead and, just like you said, I mean, am I going to practice those 100 kinds of moves, or am I going to practice those 5 moves that can cover 100 kind of, you know, kinds of different situations? And I think that's what really plays into it. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm hope I'm not kind of jumping too far ahead here, guys, but really, if you talk about one of my products that, you know, that I was forced to make, is I had to really take a look at it. Okay, I tried to take a look at what are the different kinds of situations that you could literally talk about in self-defense. And man, I just mulled over that question for months, probably even a couple years. And I tried to take on all the experience that I had, and I found out there's really only about 42 different kinds of self-defense situations you can be into. And that's mixing in everything. It's mixing in multiple attackers. It's mixing in ground situations. It's mixing in what happens if you have a knife. What happens if they have a knife? What happens if this person has a gun? What happens if you have a gun? And so by kind of putting all that stuff in a funnel and seeing what comes out the bottom, that was the one thing that I really wanted to get down to, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that when I taught my students, they would be prepared, not just for one or two situations, but be prepared for any kind of a situation. And really, when I make that kind of a claim, first of all, that's a big claim to make, you know, I mean, preparing people for every single kind of self-defense situation. But that was really the mission that I put on for myself. And then when I had this particular governmental agency contact me and say, listen, here's the story, Matt, we want to overhaul our whole defensive tactics program within our agency. And we're interviewing people to do it. We've heard about you. We want you to come on in an interview for it. Well, my heart kind of stopped, because I was like, this is crazy, because this is something that I'm currently working on. You know, it's like, how can I go ahead and how can I protect these law enforcement guys, you know, and only have a very finite amount of time to train them in? And that's what really sped my mind up to creating a program, creating kind of a system where I could take what I learned from Bruce Lee stuff, but I could also take from the stuff that I learned from my Krav Maga training, and how could I put that all in one big program where it could be simplistic to learn, and you could have those principles, just like, you know, what we're talking about right here. How can you have those same principles kind of repeat itself? So instead of learning 5 different principles, you could learn one principle that could take care of 5 different situations, you know? And that was really the kind of call here that I had to do. And then, you know, how I got to that was learning the simplistic, or learning and also teaching the simplistic moves in another program that I created, and really focusing on only 9 or 10 different kinds of self-defense kind of techniques. And that's what kind of led me to, you know, obviously creating these two products. And, you know, and I think that's one of the things that, as Jacob and I was talking, you know, that led me to kind of creating this kind of podcast so we could kind of educate people about this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm glad that you clarified some of these things, because I think people are intimidated. People, you know, based on their situation, that, you know, they might be intimidated because, oh, you know, okay, fine, guys, I believe you. I can't always use my gun. I'm going to have to be able to do some other things. I'm going to have some other moves, but I don't have time, or I'm too old, or I'm too fat, or I'm too ugly, or whatever it is that we believe about our own situation that makes us feel like we can't do this. I remember, you know, Matt, you and I have had a relationship for a little while now. And when I came to you and I said, Matt, I'm looking for, of all the programs you've put together, of all the courses you've put together, I'm looking for, you know, 2 or 3 that would really be like the core fundamentals. If I could go to my entire audience and say, hey, we're a gun training company, but you need some other tools, and I could just offer them a few products, you know, of yours that would, you know, kind of help them across the threshold, what would those be? And I was just completely blown away when you told me about InstaDefense and Street Fighting Matrix. And I think that these principles are so critical. You started to tell the story about Street Fighting Matrix, and I think that people need to understand the story because it really helps you understand the impact of the concept that at any given time, there's only 42 situations. The Matrix is so powerful. Riley, do you remember the first time I showed you the Matrix, the Street Fighting Matrix?
Oh, yeah. And I looked at it and I was just like, holy crap. Like, that's so simple. Like, because you think of all these different possibilities and potential situations that you could or you might find yourself in, and it just seems overwhelming. And then, like, to see it all laid out in this little, you know, grouping of cells in a matrix, right? And you're just like, how can it be that simple? But then you think through it, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's what I really racked my head against for so long because, you know, once again, you would see these claims. You'd see these karate places or taekwondo places or other martial arts places and just say, you know, we can prepare you, you know, to protect yourself and whatever. And I kind of thought to myself, well, that's very, very subjective. I mean, you know, if I have, let's say, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu school that focuses on ground fighting, guess what? They're preparing you for ground fighting kind of situations. They're not preparing you if someone pulls a knife out on you. They're not preparing you for, let's say, if multiple attackers come and attack you, because as far as I know it, you know, and I'm a decent ground fighter, but it's like I can only ground fight one person at a time, you know? So that's a little misleading, you know? And the same thing goes for any kind, and I'm not just picking on ground fighting because I love BJJ and I love ground fighters, but the same goes for kickboxers or boxers. You know, what happens if a kickboxer or boxer gets taken down to the ground? Well, guess what? Most of your punches, especially if you're on your back, most of your punches are not going to have the same kind of sting as if you're standing up being vertical. And guess what? Most of your kicks down the ground just don't work anymore. I can say the same thing for people who specialize, let's say, in knife fighting or in stick fighting. Well, guess what? If you don't have a weapon, can you defend yourself without a weapon? Can you defend yourself against multiple people? Can you defend yourself on the ground if you're a weapons expert, quote unquote? And, you know, and so if I can just kind of walk through just three quick little things that I want to get across to listeners, I think that will kind of give people at least enough of an education. And when I say that, I don't mean to say it because I'm some bright, you know, expert. I really don't think of myself as that. I'm just somebody who's made this a passion in their life of finding answers. And I think these three things that I just want to quickly talk about will really, really hit on that. And the first thing I want to really talk to people about is understand there's five different areas of self-defense. And the first one's kickboxing. And what that means is that, you know, this is a range where you're, you know, a couple feet off of someone. Let's say, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet off of someone where you can reach somebody with a punch or a kick. The second range you must know is close quarters combat. So instead of being far off someone, now you're a lot closer. That person is within arm's distance. The third range is what we call ground fighting. Heard me talk about that just recently here, but it's what happens if you're tackled down the ground, or let's say you have to take someone down to the ground. The fourth area of weapons, and weapons is a very, very broad category, but I like to separate into really kind of three different categories. There you have what's called edged weapons, which is anything sharp. Impact weapons, which is anything you can kind of smash or hit with, and then projectile weapons, which is something that you guys definitely specialize in. And even Riley with his blowgun dart, and you know, with his blowgun there, and I put that under projectile weapons, you know. But there's those three kind of subcategories: edged, impact, and projectile. But that all falls under weapons, which is the fourth kind of area of self-defense. The fifth and last category is what we call mass attack or multiple opponents. You have to have the ability to really defend yourself in multiple kinds of attacker situations. I mean, think about on the news how many times we're now seeing riots or public demonstrations, wherever you want to call them. And unfortunately, when you're talking about mobs of people, you are talking about that as a ripe environment for not just getting attacked by one person, but by multiple people. Let's even bring it to just common sense. You know, crimes these days many times happen with teams. And what I mean is that if you're going to get assaulted or attacked, it's not going to just be by one person. It's going to be by more than one person. So you need to have tools for that as well. So that's the first thing I want to get across to your listeners. There's five kinds of five kinds of areas of self-defense. And that's once again, kickboxing, close quarters, ground fighting, weapons, and mass attack. The next thing I want to do is just kind of dive into what motivated me to teach and to really create this, what we call the Insta-Defense Program. And the Insta-Defense Program here is my answer for people coming to me and saying, okay, listen, I don't have years. I don't have even months to learn self-defense. What's the handful of self-defense moves that I must have down in my arsenal? And it just, and I got so sick of people asking me that, that I finally said, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make one DVD. I'm going to make just one quick 1 hour DVD covering 9 self-defense moves. That's it. I'm just going to give you 9. If you focus on these 9, I guarantee that you will have a great arsenal of self-defense moves that can help you in a bunch of different kinds of these situations. And so I made 9, but then I also threw in a bonus one, which is the kind of a 10th one, more or less. I was a sucker because I couldn't leave this one last one out, which is personally my favorite. But it gave people then actual tools. So instead of me just going out and saying, learn self-defense, I could give people a DVD, give people a resource and say, hey, listen, here are 9 or 10 self-defense moves that you have to have in your arsenal. They are great because they're time-tested under these 3 kinds of filters or 3 kinds of tests that I want to make sure that each one of the 3 moves are kind of judged under. The first thing is that all moves have to be effective, meaning that they have to be effective up against not only different people, meaning big people, small people, fast people, trained people, untrained people, biker guys, guys who are just let out of prison, guys who have high pain tolerances, low pain tolerances, you know, females, males, whatever. You know, I want to make sure that they are time tested up against different kinds of opponents, but also that they're time tested in different kinds of environments. And this is something I talked about just earlier. I don't care that people can do a spinning, flipping sidekick in a nice, well-lit, matted dojo with no debris around them. I want to make sure that people can do these moves up against different kinds of environments. You know, whether it's snowy outside on the ground, if it's hot as Hades, if it's bright out, if it's dark out, if there's debris. I my Krav instructor, I have to give him credit for this, and he actually gives credit to credit to someone else. But he says, you know what? I want to make sure that all the self-defense moves that I do, they can be done when there's coffee tables and shrubs around. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, what do you mean by that? He said, listen, he goes, this law enforcement guy that I know knows, he says, no matter what call I go out on, I guarantee there's either going to be shrubs around or there's going to be coffee tables around. And I kind of laughed about that because I said, you know what? That's kind of true, is that there's always debris. There's always kind of, you know, spatial limitations around us, whether it be hallways or couches or street signs or, you know, whatever that we have to be aware of. So once again, the first kind of critical thing that all these moves kind of pass under is, and believe me, if people have their own self-defense moves, hold your moves up against these kind of 3 little sieves or 3 little filters too. So the first thing has to be effective. Second thing has to be efficient. And what I mean by that is that not only has to be efficient, that you can do it quickly, but also that you can learn it quickly as well. So if this is a self-defense move that you have to learn, you know, only if you dedicate months upon years in the dojo, discard it, as Bruce Lee would say, throw it to the side. Do not put this in your arsenal because I guarantee you it's not going to be a move that you're going to be able to pull out second nature wise very easily when your adrenaline is hitting and your, you know, heart is beating out of your chest. The third kind of little test or filter that I put there is that it has to be simple. It has to be simple to train, it has to be simple to learn, it has to be simple to maintain. So I'll put those in order. You have to be simple to learn it, train it, and maintain it. And I'll focus on just the last one here because I know we only have so much time within this podcast. What I mean by maintaining is that it has to be very, very simple to upkeep. Because we all know that even if you find self-defense moves that are easy to do, you have to maintain them. I mean, you have to put at least a little bit of training time. It's just like with you guys with your gun training. I mean, once again, wouldn't you love just to train a person on marksmanship skills and they learn it once and they never have to practice it or maintain it? I mean, we would all love to take that pill and, you know, or do like a Matrix, you know, like a movie Matrix download and just have it in our mind where we never have to train it or use it again in order just to maintain it. But we all know that that's not true, is that we have to maintain it. But I wanted it easy to maintain. So even if I gave people these 9 moves, I wanted to make sure that they were moves that they didn't have to train a whole lot, you know? So once again, I just kind of wanted those things. But that's kind of the second kind of thing that I want to get across to your listeners. So the first thing is you have to know all 5 areas of self-defense. The next thing is you have to find those group of techniques that you're going to have in your arsenal as your main go-to moves. And I think that's what, you know, Bruce Lee taught, you know, by just kind of saying, hey, listen, you have to be your own researcher. You know, what are those moves that work in all different kinds of situations and all up against all different kinds of people? But also what I love about Krav is that you see those exact same moves in Krav Maga that I've taught people for years in Jeet Kune Do. And, you know, and so once again, that's kind of the second main lesson. The third main lesson is kind of revolving around the matrix and going back to that. What are those kinds of situations that you need to be prepared for? And that's more or less what I teach within the matrix is, you know, if Insta taught the moves, then what happens is that the matrix teaches the strategies, meaning the tactics within the different environments and situations.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge. Just to kind of put some context, you know, people who are listening right now, a couple of things that I've been thinking about. Number one, you need to remember that life-threatening encounters in this country rarely happen at a distance greater than 10 feet, right? So I was thinking about, Matt, as you were talking about kind of these 5 different disciplines, and they're kind of mostly based on distance, you know, kicking distance, punching distance, grappling, ground, et cetera. I was thinking, well, you know, in our industry, we're really like number 6, which is, you know, shoot, you know, draw the gun and fire.
Absolutely.
And as I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking about how we talk about how close life-threatening encounters really tend to be in this country, these are such critical skills. Another thought I had as we were talking, you know, we've talked a lot about JKD, we've talked about Krav. You also, Matt, you mentioned a couple of these other, I'll call them, I don't know, arts. You know, we talked karate and sure. You know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu and things. My sense, and tell me if I'm wrong or right about this, but my sense is that a lot of those are oriented around almost like what I would call organized competitive fighting as opposed to like survival street fighting.
Yeah, you know, and please let me just make this disclaimer. As we talk about different specific arts, I by no means any disrespect to any one given art, because I truly believe that in every single art there's good. You know, I mean, and I know that from literally talking to hundreds and thousands of people over the last 20 years, because when I meet people with experience, I will meet them and I'll say, hey, listen, you know, I heard you had some experience in XYZ art or whatever, you know, how many months, how many years did you train about that? And I'll ask them a question, something like this. Well, you know, what are the moves, or were there moves that you would just bet your life on? You know, I mean, were there moves that were just, man, if you had a chance, this is the move that you would pull out of your pocket. And without a doubt, they would say yes. They would say, yeah, there are a handful of moves that, man, if I had to do it in real life, those are the moves that I would go to. Or they would tell me, those are the moves that I went to when I was faced in that kind of a situation, you know. But then they also ask this follow-up question. Are there moves that you would just not bet your life on, that you would not in a million years teach a loved one because you know that it's too complex, it's too complicated, it would take too long to train, it's not realistic, or it's only realistic if somebody is at your size or below? And they go, yeah, you know what? Actually, the majority of the stuff that I was taught, you know, just – probably would not work in the majority of situations. Now, it doesn't mean that it wouldn't work in a given situation. But once again, what are we after here, gentlemen? We're after here moves that work in several different kinds of situations. Just like Riley said way back in the, you know, beginning of the podcast right here. You know, what are those handful of moves that work in dozens upon dozens of situations? And that's really what we're after. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, you're right. I liked when you talked about asking questions, and you talked about, you know, is it effective? Well, I know the third thing was, is it simple? Refresh my mind on the second one there.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it's effective, the three kind of tests that I always put any kind of move up against, is it effective? Is it efficient? And also, is it
feasible? There we go. Yeah. The efficiency thing too. And efficiency is, I like how you walked us through those, because is it effective? Well, yes, of course it's got to work. Like if it doesn't work, then it doesn't, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes I talk about, you know, firepower or a stopping power. And it's like, well, if you could have a 500 Smith & Wesson, and if you can't hit the broadside of the barn with it, all that firepower doesn't do you any good. But on the flip side, like, you know, you could have a 22 caliber, you know, gun, and, you know, it certainly is less effective. But if it's used appropriately, it can be effective. So, all right, effective, efficient, I like that. And then from there, efficiency almost naturally leads you into simplicity. And you touched on that, how you explained, you know, if it's a technique that takes you years and years and years to learn, well, you're right. It's too complex for most people to grasp. And even those people that think they have a grasp of it, when you're in the heat of the moment where your life is like hanging in the balance, you're going to struggle to use those really complex techniques. I'm big on using simple techniques, whether it is with hand-to-hand defense or with your gun, because the complex techniques, even with a gun, become very difficult to do when your heart rate's elevated, adrenaline is coursing through your veins, blood vessels constrict in your extremities, you lose fine motor skills, you lose your peripheral vision. I mean, like, you need simplicity in the techniques and tactics you employ to succeed, whether with gun or whether with what we're talking about here today as far as hand-to-hand self-defense. Now, I was thinking just a week ago, or a little more than a week ago, and we've got these riots that took place in Charlotte, in North Carolina. And did you guys see the news story about it was a reporter that was attacked, beaten, and like some of this crowd was trying to throw him into a burning barrel, into a fire. Did you see that?
No, you know what? I did not hear about that, but I'm not sure I want to hear about that. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it is, right? And there's a video, and I watched the video, and it's intense. I mean, you got this. He was a still photographer, journalist sort of dude. He's just taking pictures of the rioters, and some of the rioters didn't like that. So, I mean, they start beating him up, and then they're trying to get him into this fire. He falls to the ground, and you know, next thing you know, he's basically fighting for his life on the ground. And a couple other people step in and try to protect him. Then some police officers that are nearby see what's going on, and they rush over too, right? And they kind of get it broken up, and they drag him away. And I'm thinking, that is how quickly. Now, not that most of our listeners are probably right at ground zero of some of these riots that have recently, you know, been taking place throughout the country, but it's an example of how quickly someone is in a situation. I mean, that photographer, I'm sure he's thinking, I'm just a photographer. I'm just documenting what's going on. Like, people don't bother with the news reporters and the journalists. And also, in that same event that night, there was a CNN reporter that was also attacked on live TV. So, you know, you think you're in these situations that you're okay, that you're safe, that everything is fine. But that's an example of how quickly things can change. And before you know it, you go from fighting on your feet, you know, you talked about, you know, kickboxing to, you know, close quarters to being on the ground. Like, it can change so rapidly. And that is also an example of why simple techniques, I think, are so important to learn. And also simple techniques are effective, because you don't have time to dish out these super complex moves. Like, you have time literally just to put a stop to it right then and there before it gets so far, you know, and you're surrounded by a crowd of people. You see what I'm getting at? Like, that's why I am such a huge believer and proponent and preacher on this very thing, which is exactly why we invited you, Matt, onto the podcast today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think everything you're saying is very, very true. And, you know, what's so important is people realize that, you know, when you're in the heat of battle, you know, the fog of war, whatever you want to call it, you know, we perform a lot less effective and efficient than we think we do, you know, or we think we will. And coming from an instructor standpoint, that's why my goal is to never correct technique so much where I become so anal retentive about it that people lose the fact that, listen, it just boils down to keep on fighting and keep on using, you know, gross motor skill moves that are going to attack, you know, more or less weak spots or vulnerable areas on someone. And I think that's in martial arts, you know, I think that's what a lot of times leads to martial arts taking so long or people having the wrong focus in martial arts, because it's not about, hey, listen, is your pinky correctly placed, you know, on your, you know, fist in the correct way that's 1.2 millimeters away? You know, I mean, you're splitting the atoms there. You don't need to do that, you know? You need to take your kneecap and drive it up into someone's groin. You need to rake someone's eyes. You need to go ahead and pull someone's face in the top of your head in order to headbutt them correctly. Those are the kinds of moves and tools that, once again, are going to take somebody who's bigger and stronger out of commission. But when you're training that kind of stuff, that is the stuff we need to focus on, which is gross motor skill based. It's not based on all these multi-move kind of joint locks that we see in the movies or that's put up by Hollywood that's just, you know, very, very unrealistic. I mean, if I can kind of revert one just very, very quickly to what Jake, I think Jacob was asking more about this kind of question where he said, hey, listen, is most martial arts stuff, is it more kind of sports oriented? Is it oriented more when there's certain rules and regulations? And yes, that's what you have to be careful in self-defense and when learning self-defense or choosing whatever self-defense system that you're going to learn is, because there's three main kinds of kind of martial arts, you know, kind of categories or types of martial arts. You can learn traditional martial arts, which is like your karate and taekwondos and believe me, it is great. Just like I think Riley, you said, you have a great experience in gaining interpersonal skills from it and building discipline and respect and things like that. And I'm sure Jacob's, you know, child is probably doing the exact same thing and having the exact same experience. The problem is that a lot of those moves are not just modern, and a lot of them are based on very kind of finite, simplistic moves that aren't necessarily realistic in life. And the reason being is because they're complex. The reason being is because they're based on fine motor skills. You know, they're based on taking a look at this. I mean, if I give you a key and I say, take that key and to put it into, let's say, a keyhole, you know, that is a fine motor skill. You know, that's something that's going to take some time and fine tuning and stuff like that. If all of a sudden you're scared and let's say you have adrenaline, you know, rushing through your system, your heart's beating out of your chest, you're not going to be able to take that key and very quickly put it in that keyhole because you're going to be jacked up, right? Right. You know? And so what you need is you need gross motor skills that are going to be able to actually be heightened as far as their performance goes when you're scared, when you have fear enter into your life, when you don't know what's going on, when you're in the fog of war. And that's what I want to base our self-defense moves on, are those kinds of gross motor skill base that, you know, that can actually be performed at a higher performance level. And kind of the example that I give in that is picture that Olympic lifter who, you know, goes on up and does that Olympic lift. He doesn't go up there all calm and cool. He gets himself jacked. I mean, he's breathing hard. He's slapping his chest. He's getting on up there. He's getting in that zone, right? You know, that is the kind of mentality, kind of emotional kind of a place you're going to be in when all of a sudden someone comes out of the shadows and grabs your neck. When someone goes ahead and puts you from behind, calls your wife a whole bunch of names, and now you have to defend yourself. That's the kind of emotional let's say, environment your mind is going to be in when someone scares you and asks for your money, asks for your car keys, asks for your valuables. You know, when a woman is, you know, having an attempted rape happen on her, that's the kind of emotional place that she's going to be in. And so therefore, you need your self-defense moves to mimic those moves that can be done in those kinds of situations, you know, if that makes any sense for you. So once again, that was a long answer for maybe what a traditional martial arts may not be able to give. The second category is sports-centered martial arts. And now those are moves that are, you know, once again, very combative. So I'm going to give it to that. They may be effective, but you know, those are the kinds of moves that are regulated that you can do in, you know, in situations that are very, very rules based. So the example that I'll give there is I'll give some of the toughest people that I see these days, some toughest athletes, toughest martial artists, are those mixed martial arts guys who get in the cage, get in the octagon, and kick butt for a living, you know? Now, I'm never going to go ahead and want to, you know, square off against one of those guys in an alleyway, okay? But what I will say is those people still have referees that are guarding their, you know, specific kind of event. So those are the kinds of people who, once again, they may not be able to do particular moves because it's illegal to do in their environments or their rings.
Yeah.
On the other hand, anything that's illegal to do in a tournament, I want to teach my students to do in real life situations, because the third kind of category of martial arts is realistic self-defense. It's reality-based self-defense. It's when there's no rules. It's when you have to do these moves in different kinds of environments. I mean, you know, just literally this last week in my, you know, in my Krav Maga classes, I was taking my students out in back of the gym that we train in, and it was late at night. You know, it was hot out because we're in Phoenix, and it was dark out, and there was gravel everywhere. I want to make sure that what I'm teaching my students can be done in those kinds of situations, not just those kind of environments that, let's say, MMA guys fight in, which is a well-matted surface that is a defined environment, meaning they have a fence around them, okay? And then last but not least, they're guarded by a referee who's going to tell them what moves they can or cannot do. So as much respect as I have for MMA fighters, realize that those people are still falling short for what can happen and what can be done and where situations can take place in a real life kind of an altercation.
You know, that reminds me too, because there are documented instances where, you know, somebody that's been in a fight, like I know of law enforcement officers that have been involved with a BJJ guy or an MMA guy, and they get into, you know, onto the ground with one of those guys, and it's scary, right? But then there's documented instances where, you know, they say, you know, tap, you know, rapidly on their back or on the ground or something, you know, signifying like, you know, I'm tapping out. And they're so indoctrinated from, you know, their training and from their competition that, you know, somebody starts tapping out and they'll sometimes be at least momentarily distracted, or in some cases even let go of you, thinking, oh, fight's done. So
you know what? And once again, I'm only using MMA guys because I respect them so much. And even though I respect them so much, they're still falling short, because take a look at this. Most martial arts guys, you know, I mean, if you go to an MMA gym and you start working out consistently, you'll be paired up with someone around your height, around your size. And although these barriers are getting broken down a little bit more over the last couple of years, even within your own gender, you know, I mean, for years now, you know, for the females that are in my classes, I tell them, I force them to go ahead and to get down on the ground and start grappling around and start rolling around with another guy. Because the chances are, if you get attacked, guess what? It's probably not going to be by another female. I'm not going to say that never happens or doesn't happen, but the chances are, for a realistic kind of attack, you're going to get attacked by somebody who's bigger, stronger, and usually who's a guy. You know, and so I can't tell you the transformation and the increase in confidence that those female students that I've had who have trained with people who are bigger, stronger than them. And once again, they're usually guys. And once again, it gives them such a huge boost in confidence, because they're training in environments and training with partners who are more like those kinds of people who they're going to see out on the streets. And I think that's just so important.
Great point.
Yeah, I had a couple thoughts here I wanted to make sure we touch on. One of the courses, Matt, that you prepared and that we have partnered with you and that we've been promoting to our customers and our students recently is called Insta Defense, and you've referenced it a few times. during this episode. But I here's one thing I wanted your feedback on. Instant defense is essentially, you know, you mentioned it's 9+1. It's 9 plus a bonus. Yep. Core, easy to execute moves that will disable any attacker, any size, any time. Really, really simple, really awesome. It's exactly what we're talking about. I think it's a great introduction. It's a very affordable course. But let me ask you something. Do you think that sometimes, because it's so simple, because it's so straightforward, people almost, they learn those things, they take that course, they learn them, and they think, oh, well, that's so straightforward and simple, I don't need to train or practice. You know, it's such a gross motor move thing that I'm good. And they neglect the most important critical thing, which is practicing and getting repetition. Do you see that kind of mentality?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I see it kind of what I call as like the YouTube era in martial arts training, because so many guys, whether you're talking about people ground fighting down the ground, or, you know, even fighting with a weapon or doing a particular move or whatever, just because you saw the move doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do it, much less do it effectively, much less do it up against in a real life altercation when, like I said, you know, you're sweating, your knees are starting to click together because you're so nervous and you're so fearful and, you know, whatever. And so, you know, just like it's true, you know, when I think the stat is that, you know, that 10% of people who start a book never finish the book. Reverse that. 90% of people who start a book never finish a book. And, you know, and just following up with people who actually get my program, I can tell that once again, you have to just do the moves. You just can't watch the moves. And that's what motivated me in this Insta Defense program, not only to make it as simplistic as possible. Once again, 9 moves, 10 moves top you have. But also I wanted to show people within the program then how you can train it, how you can train it if you're by yourself, how you can train it if you have equipment, if you don't have equipment, if you have a partner, if you don't have a partner. I want to make sure there was no excuses. So for people who are listening, I mean, if they want, you know, basic self-defense skills that they can, by the way, not only do themselves, but also maybe teach a spouse, maybe teach their kids. This is the program I made. It's for those kinds of people, the people who don't have, you know, months or years to dedicate to a martial arts facility, who don't have a whole lot of time, who are busy people. What's something they can do to watch this DVD here so they can get down a handful of moves, have it in their arsenal? But then also what I do is, which is so important and what you're hitting on here, Jake, is that how can you then train it so you can maintain it as well? And I show people how to create their own little kind of at home, almost like self-defense class. It's not going to take, you know, an hour a day. It's not going to take years to learn, but I wanted to lay out for people how they can train and how they can put it in a program. And even where, listen, if a person gets out and does a walk around the neighborhood, or let's say they exercise every couple times a week, how they can even make it to be like, let's say, a warm-up or a cool-down for their regular workouts. So a lot of people go to the gym and they see a heavy bag hanging in their gym. This is a great opportunity where you can use that heavy bag, and I show you how you can use that heavy bag. If people say, yeah, you know what, I don't go to a gym, I'm never going to go to a gym, you know, but I would like to go ahead and maybe train in self-defense for maybe just a couple minutes, a couple times a week, this is what I created this program for. So believe me, guys, I would love to make a pill where people take a pill and all of a sudden they have self-defense moves embedded in their nervous system and they can do it physically. Unfortunately, there's not, you know, there's just not a pill that exists like that. What there is a program that you can engage in, learn a handful of moves, and really just have the minimal amount of training where you would have it down, so where you, if you do get into a realistic kind of a situation, you don't have your gun on you, you had it and you lost it, or you can't get to it. What are the physical moves, the physical strikes, the kicks? What are those top moves that you would want to have in your arsenal? That's what the Instant Defense program is all about.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's so cool. I was thinking more as you were talking about, in the gun industry, we have the benefit of the news media almost picking up every single firearm-related offense ever. It's very easy in our podcast, as you probably have listened to it. We almost every single week in our Monday episode, we refer to 3 to 5 different stories we call justified stories of somebody defending themselves with a gun legally, you know, that they're justified in their use of their gun. In your industry, it's not as easy to find those stories. They just don't make headlines the same way. But I was thinking, you know, as you were talking about something that happened over this last weekend. It was in Minnesota. You might have seen it, Matt. There is a guy who we now understand had ties to ISIS, you know, as a terroristic attack.
Right.
He went into a shopping mall with a knife, starts stabbing people. And the person who ended the threat was actually a firearm instructor, part-time law enforcement officer who was armed. And he confronted the individual and fired, put the threat down. Threat came at him again, fired again, put the threat down. Threat came a third time and he fired again and ended the man's life. And I was thinking about, you know, you're talking about it, eight people who were stabbed, the ninth person that was confronted and attacked stopped a threat. So you have eight people who were stabbed with a knife. You know, any of those eight people could have had, you know, very simple training, right? They could have been taught some very simple skills that probably would have been pretty effective. And luckily none of them died, you know, that no one, you know, this happened to be one of those really positive stories where everyone survived that attack. But it made me think a little bit about, you know, how much could have been prevented if everybody had just these basic core skills like you're talking about from instant defense.
Yeah, you know what? And it comes down to, and this is just something, and I hate to, you know, because I don't want to scare anybody or whatever, but, you know, it comes down from a situation of you don't need years upon years of self-defense training. You know, I mean, it's just like, guess what? If I want to go ahead and I want to learn how to make a handful of, let's say, meals for my family to eat, I don't need to dedicate years upon years, you know, to make 9 or 10 meals, you know? What I do need is, I need somebody to show me the most simplistic meals to make, the most simplistic ways to make them, and then I just go ahead and I just practice that stuff. And that's what I want to get across to people is, that's what this program is all about, and that's what you need is, you just need a handful of moves. You don't need dozens upon hundreds of different kinds of self-defense moves, kicks, strikes, chokehold releases, you know, gun disarms, knife disarms. You just need a handful of moves. And that's really what all of my programs really center around, whether you're talking about the Insta Defense program or even the Matrix, where I see the Matrix as being like almost like the creme de la creme program for my people who do have a lot of experience and want a lot of training and want that kind of upper echelon, almost like advanced level kind of stuff. Mm.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm a huge fan. Matt, it's been eye-opening just to have you on the show today and to go through all this with you. I think we could probably talk all day, to be honest with you. Well, you might not want to talk with me all day, but I would talk with you all day. So, I think, you know, we've been going at this for a little more than an hour. It's been fantastic. I really think that you've brought some things here to our listeners, some serious food for them to chew on and think on. But I hope that it doesn't just leave our listeners just chewing and thinking. I hope that our listeners will actually do something about it, because it's extremely easy to just take some action on this. Matt, you've developed these programs that just opens the door and makes it so simple for even your least skilled individuals, physically, martial arts, you know, folks that are people who have never had any experience with martial arts or self-defense, hand-to-hand, anything like that. You've made it really easy for people to jump in and get their feet wet and pick up some of these basic skills and concepts. And so today we've got a special offer, and I want to highlight this. Today's episode, first of all, is brought to you by the Street Fighting Matrix, which is one of these programs that Matt Newmark has developed. This is the last hand-to-hand fighting course you will ever need. Designed for top caliber government operators, now available to everyone, Matt has made it easy to know how to deal with any threat, regardless if your attacker has a knife, a club, a gun, an accomplice, whatever. And we talked a little bit about this matrix and how, you know, Matt, you've described there's 42 different situations, right? That yep. you basically like that's what you need to just be concerned with. And you've got, you know, situations for, you know, your attacker, it's a single attacker and it's just hand to hand, you know, and you've got your hands, or maybe your attacker has got a stick, but you don't have any weapon, right? Like, or you're fighting on the ground or you're fighting standing up. So all these different scenarios, but you've made it packaged in such a way that it's so simple to understand. And not just the street fighting matrix, but I talked about and you talked about, we talked about today of about building a foundation and how there are some simple moves that regardless of martial art or whether it's MMA or whatever, there are some simple moves that are effective in so many situations, and it'll really become a foundation. And that is the Instant Defense program that Matt has also developed. So today, for a listener, for our listeners only, like nobody else is getting this other than those of you that are lucky enough to listen to the program today, we have two special offers, two links I'm going to give you here. USAFirearmTraining.com/matrix and also USAFirearmTraining.com/insta. And this is only for the next 10 days. So this is September 28th, where we're this episode is being released on. You've got through October 8th, 10 days, to go to either one of these links, usafirearmtraining.com/matrix or usafirearmtraining.com/insta. And I hope that you go to both of them. Go check it out. You've only got 10 days to check this out. It's a special offer. I'm not even really giving a whole lot of details as to what that offer is, but I promise you it's a good one.
Yeah, seriously. I'm so sorry, Riley. Go ahead and I'll just say here, just really, really quick here. You know, you can go ahead and click on the link and there's going to be let me just say it this way, Jacob and I, we really hit it off, you know, some time back when, you know, him and I started this relationship and I respect him so much for a couple reasons. He would probably want me to go on for another hour talking about him, but I'll just go ahead and I'll just say two reasons here. The first reason is that I respect him so much because he's not somebody who says, you know what, my way is the only way, my way is the best way. And what I mean by way is that he's a gun guy, you know, and he doesn't have those shutters on saying, this is the only way. Learn how to use a gun, learn how to do a gun, learn how to defend yourself with a gun, and you'll be protected. You know, for his mission that he's put on out there, I respect him so much for having that broad spectrum of saying, you know what, there's a handful of skills you need. You know, you don't need dozens of skills. You just need a couple of them. And, you know, when you're talking about protecting not only your life, but the life of those you love around you, you know, hand-to-hand skills, skills you have, you know, to use without your gun, that's so important. So I respect them for that and just, you know, just acknowledging that there are skills that might even be outside of his level of expertise, just like firearms are, you know, are definitely outside my level of expertise. But the other thing that I really respect him on is that, you know, he came to me and he said, listen, my listeners, you know, the people who go ahead and get an education, get resources from me, you need to find a way to go ahead and educate them. You know, just like Riley was saying, how can we find a way just to get their feet wet? And that's what I love about the Insta program is that, you know, if you need some place to start, if you see yourself as overweight, that there's no way you could ever do a self-defense lesson in your life, maybe you see yourself as being old, you're getting up there in years, maybe you see yourself as being unskilled, unathletic, Insta is the best place to start. Insta defense with those 9+1 moves, that is the place to start. And that is the most simplistic thing. Once again, for people who want kind of the, you know, just a lot more, let's just say, because the matrix has a lot more information, that's what you want to really dig your heels into there. And so that's why when Jacob came to me with all this stuff, I felt so motivated just to start giving more than enough away to his listeners, to people who would want to take action, because there's so many people who are going to listen to this podcast and they're going to say, you know what? That was nice. That was good information. And they do nothing about it. And that's why when us three are all talking, it's all about taking action. It's about taking action and finding ways to increase your marksmanship and your gun skills. It's finding ways to take action on your defensive skills and your home protection skills. And so that's why I was motivated. You know, when Jacob started talking to me, I said, listen, I said, what I want to do is I want to give some extra bonuses for people who are going to go ahead and even though it's very, very inexpensive, for people who are going to go ahead and invest a little bit of money and a little bit of time to taking their skills to the next level, I want to throw in some extra stuff. And so Jacob's like, hey, listen, you know, like, what do you have in mind? And I said, and I gave him a couple things that I want to include. He was like, that's awesome. So check out the link, because what you're going to be able to find is you're just not buying, that one program, whichever one you want to buy. But I'm also going to throw in a bunch of extra training, as far as Jeet Kune Do, as far as Krav goes. So have fun checking that stuff out, because I'm throwing that all, I'm not making any more extra money as far as that initial sale there. What I'm doing is I'm just rewarding people who are taking action on that stuff. So I really, really want to commend people who are ready to go ahead and take it to the next level and take it to the next step and really get their feet wet there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. We appreciate that, and I appreciate all your kind words. There's a lot of people out there who claim to be able to train people to fight, and for those who are listening, who are loyal listeners of this podcast or of our website customers, we partner with Matt because he's a man of like vision and mind as far as our mission and what our company stands for, which if you want to be put in the shortest sound bite possible, it's about stopping bad guys. It's about protecting the innocent. And this is such a critical component of that. And we just really appreciate Matt's approach in terms of, simplicity, effectiveness, make it work for everybody and do it in a way that it's meaningful, that it matters.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why I'm so glad that, I was able to really partner up with you guys because, just like we said in the beginning of the interview right here, I have some answers. I don't have all the answers, but I know that over the last, two decades plus and really training over 3,000 people personally, that's in person in front of my face, I can tell you that, once again, I have a handful of tactics and moves that can really help you and that can really protect you and also your loved ones as well. And I just want to thank you guys so much for giving me this opportunity that we can, obviously get the word out and really do it in a very, 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 very economical and quick way where, once again, we can give those skills to people. And we're not going to, we're not going to break the bank. We're not going to ask for them to dedicate, 2 hours a day to, to develop these needed skills.
Absolutely. I think it's important to note here that, USA Firearm Training, we do sell the Incident Defense Program and the Street Fighting Matrix on our website, but this is different than that standard offer. This is a one-time only special deal in that Matt, you kind of teased a little bit, but didn't go into a lot of detail. With these two deals, the Incident Defense deal or the Matrix, Street Fighting Matrix, Matt is also going to include and he is going to ship DVDs with some special bonuses. With the Instant Defense, I think you said you were going to ship a special Krav Maga-oriented DVD. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, just because we've been talking so much about Krav, and I know people's, whistles are a little wet, like, okay, Krav Maga, I've heard of it, and but maybe I don't have a school around me, or, where should I learn it? What I decided to do was that, because I know people love physical stuff too. If you guys, through this special offer, if you guys order the Insta Defense DVD, which is streaming, I will physically ship you a Krav Maga DVD, and I'll do it, as long as you guys cover the shipping and handling, I will cover the cost on that. I will ship it free of charge out of my own pocket. The cool thing is that because we've also been talking a lot about Bruce Lee's Art of Jeet Kune Do and JKD, if people want the higher level, the Matrix program, what I've decided to do was I have a 3 DVD set and I will ship that free of charge outside of a little bit of shipping and handling. As long as you guys cover shipping and handling, I will cover just going ahead, duplicating it and mailing it off to you guys and whatever. So I will cover the physical costs of the DVD. So once again, because I know we're kind of going back and forth, the one of the bonuses, because there are multiple bonuses, The bonuses that we'll talk about right here is if people order the Insta Defense, I will ship them a free Krav Maga DVD. If people want to order the Matrix program, I will ship them the 3 DVD set of the Jeet Kune Do program, which I call the complete JKD Street Fighter, which is just an incredible program. So that's what's great about that. There is that I just threw in not only downloadable stuff. I said, you know what? People love the physical stuff just as much, and I want to give them an extra kind of bonus for that. So that's what I'm doing with those 2 programs. Or if people want to order both the Insta and the Matrix, then guess what? You're going to get a total of 4 DVDs shipped to you personally. So that's a really cool thing there as far as that goes. Right.
That's huge, Matt. Thank you much.
No problem. Yeah, no, I mean, and once again, because I know, because I know that there is the people who are going to listen to this and go, oh, that's great information. But I really want to focus man, I have so much love for my students who take time out, sign up for a martial arts program, come to class every single week. You know, I just love those people because those are the doers. I mean, talk about sheepdogs. Those are the people who are out there actually, actually saying, oh yeah, that's nice, but I need to know, I need the information. I'm going to do something with the information. And so I want to reward people just by going ahead. I'm doing that just once again as a free gift. The only thing that I, just would ask your listeners, if they help me out just covering the shipping and handling, I will go ahead and I'll just give them a free product as far as that stuff
goes.
That's
so awesome. And just so that it's clear, so we don't have any confusion, folks. So the Insta Defense program and the Street Fighting Matrix program, they are online videos that you'll get access to after you've made the purchase. You'll get the links. You'll be able to go and watch them. But the DVDs, the Krav Maga DVD with Insta Defense and the 3 JKD DVDs, those are the bonuses that'll physical good bonuses. It'll come with the Insta Defense purchase and or the 3 JKD DVDs with the Street Fighting Matrix purchase. So thank you, Matt. This has been a pleasure. On to picks of the week. Matt, what is your pick this week? Since you're a new guest, I know this is new for you, but you said you brought one with you. So what you got?
Well, my pick is a striking pad. And what I mean by that is this foam pad that I use in all of my martial arts classes. And when people ask me, what is the one kind of piece of equipment that I should have, I always say, just buy a simple striking pad. I've had students and I've had people who have bought my programs, purchase one of these things and they can use it with a partner or they can tape it to a pole and use it as a target to actually perform, whether it be their insta moves with or other self-defense moves on with. Once again, it gives that not only a physical target so they can visually see a target, but it gives them something to actually strike, which is also just as important too. So that's my pick.
Great pick. Jacob, how about you?
I'm just excited about the striking pad. I'm on Amazon as we speak. I'm like, why don't I have a striking pad? Anyway, my pick this week is a squat rack or a squat stand. And this is a piece of exercise equipment, gym equipment. I think it's very versatile, very powerful. It's, kind of imagine it's kind of like a big, almost, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to describe it, but it's a huge rack that you would normally put like your squat bar on. You'd step underneath it, lift it onto your shoulders and do your squats. And squat racks are really nice because you can also use them to do pull-ups. You can also use them to do a lot of ab workouts. Some of them actually come with other things attached to them, so you can get varying levels of quality of a squat rack. But I think it's a very versatile, good piece of equipment to have in the home.
Absolutely. You know what? And it's so funny, Jake, because I have one in my house too, and I can't agree with you anymore because I get asked all the time. I'm like, well, what should I do fitness wise? What kind of move should I do? And if people have the space and the resources to do so, squat rack is also great. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying this as a sidebar, guys. That combat fitness is a program I made for people who want to, get in shape, but also just learn some simple kinds of moves. I might have thrown that bonus in to one of the programs here. I might have just included that as an extra bonus if you want to check that out. I'm not going to say anything about that, but because we've been talking about fitness and you bring up the squat rack and everything, I just want to throw that out, that maybe, just maybe, a combat fitness program that I created, I might have thrown that in as an extra additional bonus of one of the programs. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that.
And you might have another purchase from Jacob coming right now.
Oh, that's great.
My pick of the week is, it has nothing to do with being physical or working out or striking things. It's kind of an odd one this week. Mine is inspired because about 2 weeks ago, I was in Glacier National Park on a photography workshop, something I like to do. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners also live active lifestyles, like to spend time outdoors. And one of the things I invested in a number of years ago to further my photography skills was an Olympus OMD series camera, and they are just fantastic cameras. This is not you're not going to find this at Walmart or at Target. You know, this is a serious camera system for serious people. But if you're looking for a camera that can take, you know, just about anything you could throw at it, dust, water, cold, hot temperatures, the OMD EM1 series camera is a fantastic camera. It's the camera I have. It's the camera I use the most. I also have their EM10 camera, which is not weatherproof like the EM1 is. So I really love the EM1 because, I mean, I have shot with it in the rain, snow, wind, you know, whatever. It's been to the sand dunes. It's been to winter, super cold environments. It's been all over and takes fantastic pictures. But it doesn't come with any lenses. So Olympus also makes these Pro Series lenses, and they're serious lenses. They're not cheap. But if you are into photography at all and you want to take it to the next level and you want to enjoy it, and you also want to pack around a camera system that's not stinking huge, because, you know, your traditional Canon and Nikon DSLRs, they're huge cameras and they have huge lenses. The Olympus OMD series cameras and lenses are so much smaller and very light, easy to pack. And so I'm able to have mine with me a whole, you know, in a lot of variety of places that I go. I almost always have my camera with me, riding around the truck, whatever. So those impromptu shots, I'm ready to go. I know in this day and age, a lot of people just using their cell phones, their iPhones, whatever. And for the most part, those take really good pictures too. But I really, really, really like the Olympus camera. So if you have any interest, check it out. Yeah.
Very cool.
Up next, Matt, you got anything coming up next for you?
Oh, geez. Yes, to the chagrin of my wife, I have too many things going on, too many things coming on up. But the one thing that I will state is that just because there are so many questions around self-defense and, you know, and whatnot, I'm not sure if it's okay if I can go ahead and just plug one of my Facebook pages, because what I'm doing here is that starting this week here, I am fielding questions from people who log on to my Facebook page, which is Facebook/online Krav Maga videos. And what's cool about that is that I'm just fielding questions from people. People want to know, hey, listen, you know, how do I get out of this hold? How do I get out of this choke? What happens if somebody punches me here? You know, what kind of a kick should I do right here? What we're starting to do is we're starting to answer them just kind of using Facebook's live video feed, and I'm just able to kind of give people answers to their questions. There's no obviously fee for it. There's, you know, it doesn't cost anything. If people have questions for me, I'm just a resource here for people. So if people want to go ahead and check out that Facebook page, once again, it's Facebook/online Krav Maga videos. That's plural videos. And they can just check that out, and they can just check out. It's usually pinned right to the top. And if any of your listeners have any questions about anything self-defense related, especially technique related, because, you know, during a podcast, we do all this stuff audio and you can't necessarily see me. Through the video on the Facebook page, I love answering questions through video so I can show people how to do certain things. So have fun with that stuff if you guys want to.
I'm already there. I already liked your page.
good.
I just did too, and we'll include the link in the show notes for everybody.
Great.
Jacob, how about you? What you working on?
You know, I guess the thing that comes to my mind most immediately is expanding our instructor network. I think a couple of weeks ago, I put out a call to action. If anybody wanted to join our instructor network, they should reach out to us. And we've had a lot of people do that. We just inked a deal with a new firearm instructor in San Antonio, Texas, that we'll be promoting and working with them here shortly. And we're getting very close to closing deals, I think, in Austin and in Baltimore and some other markets as well. So our network of firearm instructors continues to grow.
I'm so stinking excited. So
that's so cool. That's so great.
Yeah. My up next is that quite literally on the day that this podcast was released, Jacob and I are in the studio recording some videos of some things we've been, you know, conjuring up and
all day
long.
That's
the idea anyway. So hopefully it's going okay. Because like I said, by the time you're listening to this, we should be doing that. So as always, we thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Concealed Carry Podcast. We hope that you are subscribed through your various podcatcher apps so that you are not missing any of the content. As you could probably tell, we're only running this special deal on the Insta Defense program and the Street Fighting Matrix. 10 days to get this deal. So, at the end of those 10 days, those are going to go away. So hopefully you're not missing anything because you're already subscribed. And if you did miss this, I'm sorry, but we'll probably have something else exciting coming soon. So, but if you need help with how to subscribe, you can always find, if you go to the podcast episode pages in on our website, there is a little thing there for, you know, how to subscribe. And also, as always, you're probably aware, you can follow us and like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. And if you have questions, you know, we get a lot of, you know, wonderful listeners that contact us through Facebook as well as directly through our website, because we have a contact form there at usafirearmtraining.com and search for us on Facebook, USA Firearm Training. And if you haven't already liked us there, I hope you'll go and do that as well, because we also post a lot of stuff there. We also have special Facebook Live events we've been doing more and more of. So we'd hate for you to miss out on some of that as well. So thanks again for your support of the podcast. We're going to let you go at this time just because, you know, it's been a great episode, but it's a long episode. You know, we try to keep them around an hour, but sometimes you just have one of those episodes with a great guy like Matt. You just cannot, you know, get done within an hour. It just isn't even possible. But it's been such a pleasure to have you, Matt. Thank you so much. You got any last words for the listeners?
No, I mean, I want to thank you guys. I mean, you guys are just putting out an incredible resource right here. And I think it's so important. You know, what I usually realize is gun people know a lot of gun people, and gun people hang out with a lot of gun people. And I would just really encourage them to spread the word to your friends and people you meet at the range and go out shooting with and whatever. You know, tell people about this podcast. It's just an incredible resource that you guys are putting out. So I really got to congratulate you guys on that. This is great.
Oh, thank you for that. It's very flattering of you to say. And I agree. I mean, like, and we do get a lot of people that I think share this podcast with their friends and family. And I do hope that you'll continue to do so, and that, you know, you find value in what we're bringing to the table here. So, Jacob, any last words?
Just a thank you to Matt once again for one more time coming to the plate and helping our audience learn more about the importance of these skills and these tools. And we're just really grateful.
Yep, indeed. So with that, this is Riley with the Concealed Carry Podcast signing off, wishing you all well. Train hard, train safe. You know, be good people, be good citizens, and we'll see you next time. A reminder that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand applicable laws. USA Firearm Training and the Concealed Carry Podcast strive to share insights and stories about firearm-related incidents and laws, but things could be different where you live, or laws may have changed by the time you listen to this. We cannot be held liable for your actions based on the information shared in the podcast.